Father, that is our prayer this morning, that you would turn your face toward us, that we would see you and see your smile and sense your presence, Lord. And we just rejoice in your goodness, and we just give you praise for what you're going to do this morning. Pray your blessing in our service. Thank you for the worship. I pray that you would have a word of encouragement for each person here and everyone who's watching, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remain standing, we're going to have a reading of the Word of God, and in honor of God's Word, Daniel's going to come up and grab that microphone.
Everybody hear me?
Okay.
Yes, that's everybody can hear me today. All right. Good morning, everyone. We are going to be reading Colossians 3, 12 through 17.
Get that as up.
Okay. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you also you should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you, with all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And that'll be it. Okay. Oh yeah, there you go. It didn't come up for me. Hold on. There we go. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen.
There you go. Unmute it. Good morning. How's everyone doing? Very okay. Good morning. I think I heard.
Good morning.
All right. I heard people on the internet say good morning, but all right. It's a beautiful day. Good to celebrate and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the wonderful worship, Connie and James. Very, 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 as always, very, very nice. And so, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And we're going to dive into Genesis. Amen. And warning to whoever's watching online, Facebook, YouTube, Tom, others of our church family, visitors, from wherever you're at, pray the Lord's blessing in you today, and believe that God has a word to share. And Genesis 14, verse 1, and it came about in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Kedalamar, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zoboim. There will be a test on the spelling of these words and pronunciation of these words after the service. Take notes. And the king of Bela, that is Zor. All these came as allies in the valley of Sidim, that is the Salt Sea. In 12 years they had served Kedalamar, but in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Kedalamar and the kings who were with them came and defeated the Rephaim in Ashtaroth Karnaim, and the Zuzim in Ham, and the Emim in the Sheva Kiriathim. I think I got that right. And the Horites in their Mount Seir as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. These kings that came actually came from parts as far as Iran, Iraq, Mesopotamia, four kings against five. The five kings decided after 12 years of paying tribute, they said, no more. We talked about this last week. The four kings came in and said, okay, if that's the way it's going to be, we're going to come and do something about it. What they did first, of course, is take out the kings of the eastern part of the Jordan River, basically the eastern side of that, and they defeated some very strong, large people, large giants, massive people, And then they came around and decided to take on the kings of the southern portion. Verse 7, then they turned back around and conquered, I'll skip the name, and Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and conquered all the country of the Amalekites and the Amorites who lived in Hazazon Tamar, and the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, came out, and they arrayed in battle against them the valley of Siddim, against Kedalamar, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Ariah, king of Elasar, four kings against five. Now the valley of Siddim, which was full of tar pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and they fell into them. But those who survived fled to the hill country. Then they took all the goods of the Sodom. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their food supply, and departed. And they also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions, and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Now this is all something we talked about last week. I'm just going to reviewing how the kings got captured Lot and his family, and that brought Abram into the picture. And Uncle Abram went on a fight and went to war for his nephew. Went as far as from Hebron or from the Dead Sea area to 100 miles past Damascus. He goes over 200 small miles, he and his men, on this long, long journey to capture and release his nephew Lot and their possessions, okay? Then a fugitive, I'll keep reading. Then a fugitive, verse 13, came and told Abram that the Hebrew, now he was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were allies with Abram. And when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. That's north of the Sea of Galilee. That's the northern portion of Israel, basically. That's the northern portion of Israel is in Dan. You're actually going to see the country of Syria from that point or up near there. As far as Dan, he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. I think it's like 100 miles north of Damascus. He brought them all back. He brought back all the goods and brought back also his relative Lot with his possessions and also the women and the people. So here's the scene. Abram has lived in the promised land. By the way, he's Abram the Hebrew, which one of the means it could be is that he's a man. Hebrew means somebody without a land, a wanderer, okay? Well, that's one of the possible meanings of Hebrew. So, of course, he is without a land. You know, that's his lot. This is going to be his land that God's promised him. He is still a Hebrew. He's wandering. He's a nomad. He's there. He's living in peace in that land that God has promised, but there's still Canaanites in his land. He makes allies with the people that are there. He is one who makes altars, who worships the Lord. He's a man of God, a man of faith. As we said last week, Lot has decided to go as far as going near Sodom, going into Sodom. And in Genesis 13, it talks about that the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly. So Lot's there, Abram's here. Lot gets taken, and Abram, of course, goes to fight for his nephew. And of course, we talked about last week that idea of not giving up on the lots in your life for a spiritual lesson. But if you imagine the scene now, is the battle's over. He's defeated, Lot's been freed, and they're making their journey back. Now, that's 200 some odd miles on foot. Perhaps there's camels, perhaps there's other donkeys or whatever, but they're making that journey back, you know. They've been at war. They have been through it. How many guys have been through it? How many guys have been through it? You've been in the battle, right? You know what it's like to be in battle. You know what's, you know, and imagine you've been in the battle, and so now you're on your way. That battle's done, right? That battle's you're nearing. Home's not that far away. They're nearing the place which is now near Jerusalem, and Abram's home is Hebron, which is not that far south of there. They're weary. They're tired. In verse 17, and then we're going to focus on verse 17 to verse 24, to the end of the chapter, says this. Then after his return from the feet, from the defeat, not the feet, but the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, with the king's valley. That's just, it's near Jerusalem, just south, it's near Jerusalem, just basically, just south of Jerusalem. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was priest, was a priest of God Most High. Elyon is the name. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he, Abram, gave Melchizedek a tenth of all. The king of Sodom said to Abram, now give the people to me and take the goods for yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, Yahweh the God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear that you would say, I have made Abram rich. I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their share. Now, this is an interesting scene. I could have read that portion that said, the king of Sodom came out to meet him and said, give me your portion and you take, I'll give me the people and you take the goods. And Abram says, no, I'm not going to. But then we have this interruption of this other king, this other person, Melchizedek, right? There's something going on here because you have this contrast of two kings. You have this contrast of two ways of dealing with life and two ways of approaching God. Melchizedek comes on the scene. They both come out. They're near Jerusalem. And the king of Sodom comes out first, but the king of Salem. Melchizedek, his name means, Melchi means king. Zedek means righteousness. He's the king of righteousness. By the way, he's a priest. He's a priest of God Most High. He's the king of Salem. The word Salem means peace. In fact, in Hebrew, verbs are formed on three consonants. And there's another very famous word that's formed on the same three consonants, the word shalom. Shalom. And Salem, Shalom means to be at peace or to be whole. He is the king of peace. His name happens to be king of righteousness. Who's the king of peace? Comes out to meet Abram. He comes out to meet Abram. Abram and his men who are weary from the battle. Who is this, first of all, before we get into some of the lessons here, who is this king of Salem? Hebrews chapter 7 gives us a commentary. So if you go to Hebrews chapter 7, and I just want to read that portion. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. It gives you a commentary. By the name Melchizedek only appears in Genesis 14, in Psalm 110, and in Hebrews. He's an obscure character, but he's an important character. Hebrews chapter 7. The writer says this. Actually, let me just, For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of God, the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abram apportioned a tenth part of all the spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made one like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. Now observe how this great man was to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. Remember, Abraham is the chosen vehicle of God to bring in the promises, right? And Abraham recognizes something special about this priest, and he gives this priest a tenth of everything he has, of all the spoils. Was first of all by the skip on. Now observe that Abraham gave the tenth of the choicest spoils, And those indeed of the sons of Levi who receive the priest's office have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their brethren. Also these descended from Abraham. But the one whose genealogy is not traced, that's Melchizedek, from them, collected the tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In this case, mortal man received tithes, but in that case, one received tithes, and of whom it was witnessed that he lives on, and so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes, for he was still in the loins of the father when Melchizedek met him. And there's a tie what he's doing here in Hebrews. He's making a tie of how Jesus Christ is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Why is that interesting? Why is that? Well, the priesthood office was separate from the king office. Kings cannot be priests. You had kings that were King David, King Saul, and then the priests were under the sons of Levi, were priests, and you couldn't mix the two. But Jesus actually is both king and priest. And how he gets that is now he's a priest in line in the order of Melchizedek, who's also king and priest. And so Melchizedek is a real person, but he's also a picture of Jesus. He's a picture of Jesus, who's king and priest, and this king and priest, who's king of peace, who's king of righteousness, this is a picture of Jesus coming out to his weary, worn people and blessing them. How many guys are in the battle right now? How many guys are weary from the battle? You're weary. You've been battling. And you're like, when is this going to end? When is this going to stop? I've been battling. I want to talk to those of us who are in the battle. If you're not in the battle, God bless you. But it won't be long because you'll be in the battle. Because no sooner that they defeat the kings, the Kedalamar, the other kings, that there's another battle that comes up. There's a battle that comes on the forefront, right? But there's always the... And here's, if you imagine the scene coming back from the battle, here's Abraham and his men. They've been tired. They've been worn out. They've probably longed for the day they can sleep in their own bed again and have some peace and quiet, no more trouble, no more issues. And here comes this out in the distance. There's this king, Sodom. He looks kind of towery because he's been in the tar pits, but he comes out to greet him. Now Sodom is a picture of is not a picture of something good. The king of Sodom is not a good guy. We know that. But praise God, before the king of Sodom comes up and says anything, the king of righteousness, the king of peace, comes out to his people to speak blessings. To speak blessings. This king, this person, Melchizedek, first of all, he comes out very significantly. He comes out with bread and wine. Look at verse 18. He comes out with bread and wine. Now, first, I want you to notice, first of all, a couple things. One thing, look at the difference between the two kings. One king comes out first, that's King Sodom. The other king of Salem, Melchizedek. One king comes out with bread and wine. That's Melchizedek. He comes out with blessings. He says this, "Now he was priest of God Most High." Verse 10, he blessed him, and he said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High." See that? "And blessed be God of High, who has delivered your enemies to your hands." One king comes out with blessing and with gifts. Now, the bread and wine is significant of a feast. You've been worn out. You need some refreshment, don't you, right? You've been worn out. You need some encouragement, don't you? You need some hope. You don't need any more demands on you, do you? How many guys have been to the breaking point? You say, "That's it, time out. I'm checked out because I'm just spent, right? I can't give anymore." How many guys have been spent? And Jesus Christ comes out with blessings and with encouragement and with refreshment. And if you've been weary and long in the life of faith and of being a Christian, doesn't mean you'll never be in the battle. Being a Christian means you'll always be in the battle. But Jesus Christ comes out to give you refreshment. Amen? Just as water to somebody who's been wandering in the desert is the sight of for sore eyes and for a thirsty tongue, Jesus comes with refreshment to strengthen you, right? And he comes out with blessings, speaking words of encouragement, speaking words of "I am with you," right? The other king comes out from the tar pits. The other king comes out defeated, but he comes out demanding, doesn't he? He says, "Give the people to me." One comes out to give, the other one comes out to take. See, Satan always tries to take more of you, right? There's never enough, right? You're not doing enough. You don't measure up enough. You know, more, right? And when do you ever get the chance to enjoy the blessings of God? Well, in Satan's kingdom, you never do. And the kingdom of Sodom comes out demanding, and he says, "Give me." And then he says, "Ah, but Abram, you can take the rest for yourself." He comes out saying, Look out for yourself. Friends, I think many of us are weary from the battle. We've been weary because we're waiting on God. We're weary because we've been in battle. We've been in the trenches of it all. And we need refreshment from the Lord. I don't know about you, but I need refreshment from the Lord. See, the scripture, I love what the scripture says in the book of Isaiah. I'll just read it to you. It says in Isaiah 40:29, "He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases in power." Lord, you give us strength. See, he is our strength. When you're depleted, he is your strength, right? When you're feeling thirsty, he is the one who quenches your soul, is our Savior. As Isaiah 50 says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word." Let me encourage you with just some things I was thinking about. We're going through Genesis, and technically the study is called Pictures of God in Genesis. Let me give you some pictures of God to refresh your soul, okay? I'm just going to go through, from what we've covered, from chapters 1 through 14. So just follow along, or just listen along. See, he is the God who speaks light into darkness. Those of us who've been dwelling in darkness, he speaks light into that darkness. He gives you hope, amen? He's the God of hope. He's a God of light. He's the one who's a God who speaks life where there is no life. Many of us are trying to put life into things that we're not meant to speak life, but God speaks life into our life. He speaks life. Okay. I'm feeling limited here. Because God says, "Let there be light," right? And there's light, right? And then God says, let us make things in our image. And he speaks, "Let this be." See, God is the only one who can speak life when things are dead, right? He's the one who brings order out of chaos. This is all Genesis 1. He brings order of our chaos. And we say, "Lord, I don't understand which way to go. I don't understand what you're doing, but I feel this combined because things aren't going my way." And God says, "I have a plan." Amen? I have a plan. Look to me, right? Imagine you are coming back from the battle and you're weary, and here comes one guy who says, "Give me what you have." Another one says, "I got a feast waiting for you." Where are you going to go to? You're going to the feast. You're like, "I am tired. I am weary. I am thirsty. I'm hungry. Oh, give me the feast all day long." Sorry, no service for you, sir. I'm going to spend my time. And Jesus Christ comes to you and says, "Let me satisfy your weary soul. Let me replenish where you're like, come." How many of you guys have a hard time enjoying the success of battles, the victories? How many of you guys have a hard time enjoying the victories, right? Can't you just, you're just like, "Lord, can I just enjoy the victory? You've won the victory. Can I just enjoy that, right?" And one king says, "No, give me more. Give me, give me, give me. I demand more of you." One says, "Yes, you may just enjoy the victory that I have won on the cross." Jesus Christ has won on the cross the victory, right? Blessed be God, right? Most High, who has given you, Abram, the victory over your enemies. You're in the battle, but God's working through you, right? Enjoy the blessings of that. I want to sit with Abram. I'm going to sit with that camp. He's the God who brings something out of nothing with his word. Jesus says to his disciples, There's 5,000 people. I want you to feed them. What? Where in the world are we getting enough food to feed these people, right? And you, something you feel like, see, if you go to follow that king, he says, no, you feed the food on your own. And you're, so you're measuring out crumbs, right? You're like, well, okay, we have 5,000. We have how many crumbs? Ooh, you know, and they're like, no, that's a, no. God is able to supply where you are lacking, right? That's Christianity 101, is God supply. See, when you're empty, now, there's more room for God to fill it, right? God, let it be that we are empty vessels. Let it not be that we look to ourselves to fill, to satisfy. I have no, listen, I can't even satisfy. I'm just me, right? I get thirsty. I run out. I'm thirsty right now, right? Let it be, Lord, that I give out of what you've supplied, right? Let it be that we don't look to ourselves to try to fill ourselves. Let us look to Christ to fill us. And guess what? Then the job and helping out and speaking encouragement and blessing to other people is easier. So you can only give what you've received, right? And if you're empty, then say, Lord, fill me. Camp out in the blessings and promises of God. Camp out in the words where God says, I love you. I'm with you. I'm never leaving or forsaking you. I am your supply. Here's the children of Israel in the wilderness, right? And that's they're in the Arabian desert. They're all like it's like 103. It makes Arizona look like a walking freezer compared to that part of the country. I mean, it's hot, right? It's 130 degrees, you know, and there's like 1.5 to 2 million people. They're wandering in the desert. There's no Circle K. There's no Costco. There's no Walmart. You know, they're in the middle of the desert, right? And then we're thirsty, and God supplies water that fed all these, that satisfied their thirst, right? God is able to supply water where there's in the desert. See, God's supply is never, I just love that. He's just kind of, it's never dependent on us. That's the point. The Christian life is not us feeding it's us receiving from the Lord and then being able to pour on others. The principle is this. Is to receive from the Lord. Let him fill your cup. The psalmist says, my cup runs over, right? God doesn't need us to fill him. We need him to fill us. Amen? He is the God who works miracles. He's the God who gives rest. He's the God who completes what he starts. He's the God who blesses. Paul says later on, he says, in my first defense, everyone left me. Everyone deserted me. Everyone went away, but the Lord stood by me. Amen. But the Lord stood by me. You always have, if you're his sheep, he is one shepherd that never leaves you. He is your supply. If you're feeling empty, if you're feeling drained and strained, and another word that ends with ained, if you're just feeling, look to Jesus, look to the Melchizedek of Christ, the King of Righteousness, the King of Salem. Look to him. If you're feeling discombobulated and you don't have enough to give because you haven't received enough, just give. Just say, Lord, I surrender to you. Let him speak blessings over you. Some of us have been in the battle. We know what it's like to wait. We know what it's like to get our uniform dirty. I don't want to talk to bench warmers, right? I want to talk to people in the battle, right? Who've been waiting and waiting and praying and pleading and agonizing in prayer and in the thick of things. And God knows that. And he's the one who supplies your strength. He's the supplier of our strength. He gives, he gives, he gives. In fact, he doesn't need us to give to him. He is the never-ending source. In fact, it says, blessed be God Most High, possessor or creator of heaven and earth. You know what that means? That's Melchizedek saying, by the way, Abraham, your God, Most High God that you worship, he is the one who created everything. In other words, he's the ultimate supplier of everything you need, Abraham. Amen? He is the God who gives. He is the God who gives you life, he gives you purpose, he gives you, he provides. Sometimes it's not just the battle that we're weary from, it's also then the next battle. It's the battle after the battle, right? It's the one victory, but there's another one coming. There's another, and Lord, I need a pit stop here. I need a recharge, Lord, right? You know, and when you run marathons, let's say every 2 miles there's a stop station with you know, they give you waters and they give you little goo things, you know. But if you're in the middle of nowhere, you have nowhere where the next thing is, right? God is always to be your source, because there's always another battle, and it's the Elijah who has the victory in Mount Carmel, but then he's afraid because he runs and he gives his Lord, and God says, listen, let me give you rest right now. Sometimes the rest we need is just actual rest, just time out, just stop doing what you're doing. You know, Psalm 23 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. It's God saying, slow down. You're taking on too much. So no is okay to say. It's okay to say no. And just resting and being refreshed in that way. And Jesus Christ, the priest and king, king and priest, the priest who represents God to men and men to God, right? That's what a priest does, you know? And he's a king of peace. He refreshes us. He refreshes the weary believer. God gives us strength and courage. He knows our needs. He knows our limitations. Let it be that we go to him to find that, to receive that. Abram was refreshed by the bread and wine, which was actually more of a small way of saying this feast that Melchizedek came out to bring. Melchizedek came out blessing with physical blessing, but also verbal blessing. Jesus recognizes that sometimes we just need some physical rest. When his disciples were serving, he said to them in Mark 6:31, he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people were coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. Jesus sometimes just says, you know, just take a break. Just take a break. When he refreshes us, he also reminds us of what he's done. He says, Blessed be Abraham, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. See, sometimes when we're in the thick of things, we think it's all dependent on us, and we think we're battling alone, right? We think it's all dependent on us, and we think that we're all alone. And God says, it's not dependent on you, and you're certainly not alone. Every single week I'm up here, and I realize that it's not my words that, because my words are just my, you know, my words have no power, but God's word, you know, what God does with the word that comes out and penetrates people's hearts and spirits, you know, that's something I can't handle. I can't, that pressure, that'd be too much pressure, you know, that's a lot of pressure. But it's a vessel who's willing to say, Lord, just fill me, use me. In fact, the more times where I feel like I'm not being used, I'm being used more. The more times you say, Lord, you just make sure you're glorified, not me. And make sure that you're the one that works, not me. He's looking for empty vessels and dependent vessels. He reminds us of what he's done. He's delivered us. He's the one who created us. He's the one who supplied all our needs. And he is here, as Melchizedek is telling Abram, hey, he is here right now to supply your needs. He's very present right now. Blessed be God Most High. It's a time of refreshment. Friends, I think if there's anything that we are to learn today from this word, is allowing the Lord to fill our cup. Allow the Lord to fill your cup. Draw strength from him. Draw strength and nourishment from his word. Take time to receive that from him. You know, we're sheep. And sheep need a lot of care. And the weight of the world is not on our shoulders. It's on God's shoulders. The government shall rest on his shoulders. We can't handle that. I have a hard time handling my own personal affairs, let alone worry about the world, right? Let it be that God fills our cup. God also does something in this time of refreshment, is he also readies us for the next battle. It's interesting that here comes the king of Sodom, and then the king of Melchizedek comes in and does a... See, when God refreshes your soul and he speaks and he rejuvenates your heart and your spirit, he readies you for the next thing you'll face. He readies you for the next battle. Abram is actually faced with a temptation here. Sodom says, hey, you know, give the people to me and take the goods for yourself. Hey, right? Sound like a deal? First of all, time out. The king of Sodom is a defeated king. He has no right to demand anything from you. Satan has no right to demand anything from you, right? He has no power or authority over your life. If you belong to Jesus Christ, he's your Lord. That king of Sodom is not. But notice how subtle the temptation there is. Hey, give the people to me. And you know, Abram, you're in it just for yourself, so take the goods for yourself. And because Abram was, both of all, he was refreshed, but also he was prepared. It says this. He says, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything. It's basically the smallest little part of anything that you want. I'm not going to take anything from you. Lest you go out and brag that you made Abram rich. I'm going to entrust myself to God for my supply, right? For fear that I'm not going to take anything. The temptation was, hey, take it for yourselves, Abram. And Abram says, no, I'm going to trust God. Watch what God does in the result of this. Go to verse chapter 15. Look at verse 1. This is interesting. Do you see, time out, pause. Go back to verse 20. You see this, it says, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered, you see that word delivered, your enemies? It's the word megen, M-I-G-G-E-N in Hebrew, right? He has delivered your enemies in your hands, right? Now skip it down to chapter 15. After these sayings, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not fear, Abram, I am a shield, same word, M-A-G-E-N, he delivered you here. He is your shield here. Because you've entrusted me here and you've allowed me to supply your needs here, I'm going to be your provider. In fact, he says, I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. You see that? See, the temptation is for you to take what the devil has to offer. And God has a whole reward of himself. And Abram was prepared because of his time with Melchizedek. He was prepared to say no to temptation. And because of that, God rewarded Abram with himself. Your reward shall be very great. And he goes on from there. I'm skipping it to obviously the next chapter. The point is this, is that because he was refreshed by God, he was prepared to face the next battle. He was prepared to face the temptations and not give in. Abram gives Melchizedek a tenth because he recognizes who Melchizedek is. And because he's been filled by God and has been blessed by God, he's more apt to give blessings in return, right? When you are filled by God and you receive from God and you enjoy the blessings of God and your cup is filled by God, it's easier to give, right? It's easier to give what you've been filled with, right? If you find yourself empty of blessings to give and blessings and of giving to people, start back at square one. Receive from the Lord first. Get your cup filled by the Lord. Get your cup filled by the Lord. You'll be a blessing. In fact, God calls each one of us to be a priest. And to be a priest, you must do two things. One, you, of course, must rely on God to supply your needs. But then you must point people to the sufficiency of God to supply needs. Let it be when people come to you, you point them to the supplier of the needs, right? Not bearing on yourself, but you say, no, let me point you the right direction. And let it be that your cup, if you find yourself empty, come away by yourself to the Lord. Get refreshed by Him. Refocus back on Christ. Let Him minister to you. Let Him fill your cup. And He'll prepare you for the next battle. He is God Most High. He's best. And for now, I'm going to finish with that because, well, actually, let me just share two lessons, okay? Abram is both a worshiper and he's a witness. He's a worshiper in giving back to God. See, it's easy to give back to God when you realize what He's given to you, right? Worship is a response to God. It's a response to God. It's a response. You find yourself lacking in worship, look to God and learn what He's given to you. But he's also a witness because of the fact he is able to say no to Sodom's offer. See, when you are filled with the, when you're filled with the lavish, glorious feast of the Lord, right? The bread, the wine, the feast of the Lord, right? When you're filled with that, the stale old crumbs of the enemy is not appealing to you, is it? When you're filled with God, when you're filled with what He has to offer, with the goodness He gives to you, and His goodness is never-ending, right? It's interesting, back at the garden, let's go back to the garden, where the garden was full of wonderful plants that had food for eat, right? And one little tree, right? Don't touch, don't eat it, right? Don't eat it, technically. God's goodness was displayed there. Hey, you like this, you like that, I got all this, you know? And that one little thing, right? And the devil always tries to point you to what you can't have, right? Let it be that you feast on the good mercy and grace of the Lord, right? That you feast and enjoy His presence. That you feast and you enjoy His nourishment. As you are a battle-weary person coming back from battle. And the sight for sore eyes is what He has to offer. Jesus Christ fills your cup. If your cup is filled with Him, what the devil has to offer you? Man, that's old, stale, and yucky. I don't want that. I got enough. I'm too full with God. I got nothing room for you, sir, right? Fill yourselves with the love of God, with the grace of God, the mercy and blessings of God. And then once you're filled, right, then pour it out with other people, right? Let your words be words of blessings, right? Let your words be words of encouragement and hope. Let your words be one that says, hey, you don't have enough. We have the God who's the creator of heavens and earth. Guess what? He has enough, right? Oh, you're in a battle? Let it be that you point to the general, to the captain of the army of hosts who says, ah, come with me. I've won the victory, right? Come to me as I go to the cross and face the enemy, the true enemy of sin, hell, and grave, and conquer, and come with Jesus and follow Him to the cross and look and say, He's my victorious soldier. He has won the victory for me. If you're feeling defeated, hey, He's won the victory, right? If you're feeling without supply, He's the God who supplies all your needs. Amen? Look to Christ. Don't look to the stale, old, crusty, old, geezer-looking, graggly jerk of King Sodom. He ain't got nothing to offer you. He's like, you got nothing I want. I don't want you. I don't want your maggoty offering. You can have all that. I'm satisfied with Christ. I'm satisfied with the Lord. And then guess what will happen? It comes out of you, right? It comes out. It's like, I'm filled with the Lord. Be filled with the Lord. I guess that's the point of the whole message. Be filled with the Lord, right? Amen? He is a God who supplies our needs. He is the God who fights and does victory for us. He brings us peace. And He is good. And He's always with us. Let's give Him praise. Let's thank Him today. Let's thank Him for being that wonderful God and King and priest and who fills our cup, who rejoices over us, who refreshes our soul. He prepares us for the next battle, and he's won the victory, by the way. Amen? Yep. All right, let's give a praise. Lord, thank you so much for your presence here. Thank you for your word, Lord. I speak blessing, Lord, over my friends and family here. I speak blessing over people watching online. Lord, I pray that each one of us will look and turn to you to fill our cup with you, Lord, to receive from you that which would refresh our soul, your kindness, your goodness, your word that is like water for our soul, your word that feeds us, Lord. Fill our cup, Lord. And let us be filled with you, Lord, and let us pour to others what we've received from you, God. We look to Jesus, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who is victorious over our supplier of all our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.